Welcome to this online service. We are indeed pleased that you're able to join with us on this occasion, and whether you're part of the fellowship at Only Baptist Church or not, we give you a very warm welcome in Jesus' name. And we pray that during this time, the reality of Jesus and who he really is will come home to each one of us. And as it does, we will find him very near in whatever circumstances we're each in right now. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that the Son, that's Jesus, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's being. That's who Jesus is. And our focus is very much going to be on him over this time. Well, our thoughts today have something of a Christmas connection. And so our first song is one that invites us to see who that baby in the manger at Bethlehem really is. It's See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. It's 491 in Songs of Fellowship. Let us now turn to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you, the Lord of glory, came into this world. And what a difference you make. How hopeless we would be without you. And what an even bigger difference it makes to our lives to know who you really are. And we are able to see in that babe at Bethlehem the Prince of Glory who came to earth for us. But it saddens us to know that so many around us do not know that. To them, Christmas is something entirely different, and at best falls far short of the significance of your coming to earth and all that follows from that. We pray, Lord, for those who are in that position. Give us an opportunity, Lord, to pass a word on in season if we can. Or, Lord, you speak to them through some means this Christmas in your grace. Help them to see the truth of what this is all about, really. We pray too, Lord, for those who, for whom Christmas is a difficult time of year. Perhaps even more so this year, considering the situation we're in nationally and globally. Lord, we want them to know your grace and your presence. As we do those who are in our own fellowship and people that we know from families, etc., who are in need of your healing, need of your strength, need of your peace, those who are undergoing treatments at this time, Lord, we particularly pray for them. We pray for those, Lord, who are also reaching out to others in this season of the year. Those who are seeking to bring comfort and relief to those who are homeless. Those who are in war-torn areas. We think of those. Those affected by the coronavirus in different ways. Whatever may be the cause of their hardship or suffering, Lord, we pray, reach out to them by whatever means possible. And we pray especially for Operation Christmas Child this year, with all the obstacles and the disruption that's occurring. We trust nevertheless that there will be a good supply of shoebox gifts to be distributed that will bring joy to many young hearts this Christmas. And we pray for everyone involved in this whole process of collecting, sorting, shipping, delivering, whatever it is, Lord. Lord, we pray that your presence will be with them, that they'll have that sense of joy of being able to serve you and to serve others in what they're doing. And for those who receive those gifts, that they'll be able to grasp your love and your goodness, and that they'll be able to recognize that those gifts are but a token of the far greater treasures that you, Lord, are able to give them in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, we thank you for him. Help us to see more and more of the glory that lies in your amazing Son, Jesus Christ. To recognize and rejoice in who he is as we continue to worship. And as we go on to look into your word, we ask you to reveal more and more of his greatness, his goodness, and his glory to us. In his name, Amen.
Well, our reading today is from St. John's Gospel, and it's the first chapter, and we begin at verse 1. That's St. John, chapter 1, and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
We have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. Now, when Moses asked to see God's glory, he was told he needed to be protected in the cleft of a rock, while God caused his goodness to pass by. And that goodness, that glory of God, was declared to Moses in terms of mercy and justice. In effect, that is the same glory that we see in the Lord Jesus. The equivalent terms to mercy and justice from the Old Testament are grace and truth here in the New. And it says that Jesus is full of that. He's not some elevated human being giving his best impression of what God is like. He is full of this glory that is the glory of God. And this next song of ours picks up this theme, taking its words from the beginning of the book of Hebrews. Jesus, you are the radiance of the Father's glory. It's 312 in Songs of Fellowship. Hold on to our sense of worship as we read those words from Scripture that that song is based on. It's Hebrews chapter 1 and the first three verses. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Now this is the second in our series called The Miracle of Christmas. And last week the subject was the miracle of the moment, the timing for the very first Christmas. This week we are looking at the miracle of the message. What is the message? That's the first question. Because you can't decide what the miracle is without knowing what the message is. And I'm sure you have an answer to that question, what is the message of Christmas? But I wonder if your answer is the same as these verses give. Because these verses say, really, this is the wrong question anyway, to say what is the message of Christmas. It's more correct to say, who is the message of Christmas? Now, Christmas definitely has a message to it, but it doesn't. The one this is talking about doesn't come in words. Words in a letter or an email or a card or anything like that. And there's a very good reason why not. You see, a written or spoken message even would not be good enough for this message. Now, that sort of thing had been done in the past. God has sent his message to people of times past, at many times, it says here, and in very many ways. And it's true, God spoke to people of all walks of life. He spoke to royalty, to farm workers, priests, shepherds, scholars, to the very old and to the young as well. And he spoke in many ways. Direct voice, there was dreams and visions, a burning bush, it came through his voice. He spoke from a dark cloud, a still small voice, and even through a donkey. So God is wondrously inventive and varied in the ways he gets his message across. But when the writer of these words says God did this in many ways at many times, there's an underlying thought here that it was all rather fragmented in a way. It was divided up into portions. In fact, you could literally translate what is written here as saying God spoke in bits and pieces to people of old. Now, that is speaking in direct contrast, of course, to the way that he has now spoken by his Son. So God's message came in the past in bits and pieces, but in these last days, that's the era in which we live, he has spoken to us by his Son, and that is entirely different. So the message is a who. Jesus, the Son of God, is actually the message from God. God has spoken by his Son. Actually, the literal words in this passage in the Greek are that God has spoken in his Son, or more strictly, in Son. So God has put his message not in the language of Hebrew or Greek or English, but in Son-ish, S-O-N, Son-ish. Jesus is the message, brought to us in the language of his life, his character, his behaviour, his accomplishments, because they all speak the message of God. And God had to do it that way, rather than speak on in these bits and pieces, as it were, because the subject matter that God wants to get across to us is far too big, far too complex in a way for our struggling human minds to grasp. We needed it to be spoon-fed to us in a way that as mere mortals we could process more easily. And here, God was going to provide a complete message for a change as well. So God sent his Son to take on human nature, to live among us, so that we would get the message loud and clear. So Jesus is the message from God to us. But of course the message has been sent for a reason. We tend to think that Jesus came to earth as a baby so that he could grow up and then he could die on the cross and save us from our sins. But the truth is that Jesus came so that we would know God. Being saved is merely a step along the way, in reality, a vital one, of course. I mean, without the cross, our sins would stop us from knowing God completely and forever. But we haven't arrived at what God is aiming for when we simply know forgiveness through Christ. We've only really begun in the great quest of life, which is to know God for ourselves. And Jesus came to reveal God to us and to show us fully, as much as we can know, who that God is who calls us to trust him. To trust him with our earthly lives and with our eternal future. And he came to do so in a way that is totally convincing, because he doesn't just talk about forgiveness and mercy and grace and peace and joy and all the things that the prophets have proclaimed through the centuries. He comes to demonstrate it for real in himself here on earth. And Jesus is uniquely qualified to do so, isn't he? Because when we see Jesus, we see God. Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it will be enough." Jesus replied, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Or as these verses are saying here in Hebrews, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. And the writer of these words is at pains to point out that this Son of God who came to earth is every bit God himself. The one, in fact, who made the universe, it says here, with that creative power that belongs to God. The one who holds everything in place, sustaining everything by the power of his word. In other words, the very existence of everything, including you and me, depends on this all-powerful being, this one we know as the Son of God, who is the exact representation of God's being. And the wording in the original here has to do with the mark of a signet ring. Every time that signet ring is pressed into the wax of a seal, exactly the same image is produced. And what it's saying is that Jesus is exactly the same as God the Father in every aspect of his nature. You can't have the same nature as God in all respects without being God. And he is the radiance of God's glory. He is beaming out all that God is in his glorious nature. God in his mercy, his grace, his truth, his justice, his faithfulness and compassion, his unutterable holiness, all of that that is in God the Father is being beamed out through the life of Jesus himself. Jesus is as the rays of sunlight that convey the glory of the sun to this earth. They're part and parcel of what the sun is and does. And the nature of God shines in and through the Son of God. So there's the message. Jesus is God's message to us. But this is titled The Miracle of the Message. How is this message such a miracle? Well, for a start, it's pretty miraculous that God the Son became a human baby while remaining every bit God, so that he could become the message of God to us. Now, it's something we can only stand back and be amazed at. We can't explain it. It is a miracle of most stupendous proportions. But it's also a miracle that God even bothered to send the message to us at all, surely. After all, he's managing the affairs of this vast universe, keeping everything running. And what are we but mere specks of dust shifting around on a minuscule clump of assorted rocks and stuff? Why would God bother with us? And yet he does. And it's even more miraculous when you take into account that we as a human race have consistently rejected God's message much of the time. But rather than dismiss us as having had our chance, given us plenty of opportunity to hear, instead God sends the greatest message of all to us, in self, in the person of his Son. Now that surely is a miracle. So it's a miracle that even though we don't deserve for God to have anything to do with us, he not only bothers to communicate, but he comes himself to do the communicating. And he comes himself knowing that it'll be costly to do, knowing that it'll mean suffering, rejection, humiliation at the hands of the very people he has created, an unimaginable pain. And the miracle of the message surely is also in the fact that once you get this message, once you've received it for yourself, it's the start of many, many miracles, beginning with what John tells us in chapter 1, verse 12 that we read earlier, that as many as received Jesus, to them he gives the right to be the children of God. I wonder if this miracle of the message of Christmas, has become the start of many miracles in your life too. For the greatest miracle of this particular message is that it does enable us to truly know God for who he truly is, so that we can fully trust him and know his grace and his power in our lives. It enables us not to need to hold back in our faith and our love and our commitment to God. I read some comments once by an American military chaplain who referred to situations he met on the battlefield. A fatally wounded young soldier would ask what he could expect when he came to meet his Maker. What is this God like? And the chaplain was able to point to Jesus. He was able to say, that's what you can expect, because that's how God is. Because Jesus, he too is God. The God with that compassion that filled the heart of Jesus for the needy and the outcast. The one who had the personal interest in a whole host of different people that we see him meeting in his earthly life and beyond. One with the readiness to meet folk where they were at, to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, to bring restoration, but at the same time willing to suffer that rejection, that abuse, and yet still be moved with concern for the people who are handing out that rejection and abuse. And as we look at Jesus, we see the heart of God. The heart of God for the sick and sorrowing. And for a whole host of other people, as we read how Jesus was moved, deeply moved with compassion when meeting people with different needs. In fact, we see in Jesus the heart of God for the likes of you and me, whatever our situations, whether we feel an outcast in any respect or rejected, abandoned, struggling with life's perplexities or burdened with this and that. When Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden," it's the voice of God speaking from the heart of God. And maybe you just feel okay. You don't come into these kind of categories, but he reaches out to you too. He takes a deep and personal interest in us all. And he still is reaching out through his Son. He doesn't change. Right now, you and I can make that connection with him and draw near to him as one who has demonstrated his care in real life. Of course, he is also the God of truth and justice, with an unyielding demand for purity. We see that coming across in Jesus' life as well. But hang on a minute. He's done something about that too. It says here in Hebrews 1:3 that after he had provided purification for sins, that includes your sins and mine, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that tells us what a decisive move God has made in Jesus against the corruption and the tyranny of sin, the worst plague to ever affect the human race. And Jesus' death on the cross was utterly decisive. Just witness the fact that after he had died and made purification for sin, he sat down in God's presence afterwards. Now, the one piece of furniture missing from the temple was a chair. I don't know whether you've noticed that. That's because no priest who served there could ever say his job was done. He could never sit down. There was always more sacrifices to be made. Until Jesus, that is. After his sacrifice to purify sin, he went and sat in the holiest place of all, the very throne room of God. Job done. All sin atoned for, no more sacrifice needed. And this too is a message that God gives and continues to put across in his Son. He has already dealt with the worst thing that could befall us. And he invites us to trust him with everything else as well. So the message is Jesus. The message that is a miracle, for it is God, the eternal God, revealing himself in his Son walking this earth. And what a God he is. But if that's the message, and the reason that God sent the message is that we should truly see him, God, as he is, and know who he is, then we have to ask ourselves the question as to whether we've really taken this to heart. Because for him to have taken the trouble to get his message to us in Jesus means that God must be deadly serious about us, each one of us, truly knowing him. Look at the lengths he's gone to so that we should know him. Him coming personally, all that involved, so that we should have the best possible chance of understanding him and of having a clear view of who he really is and what he is able to do. He is, without doubt, passionately serious about us knowing him. But how serious are we about getting to know him, about communicating with him, about connecting with him, and doing so consistently rather than in a casual way? The message shows that God clearly desires us to have more than a passing interest in him and a passing relationship with him. He wants us to know him and to be glad that we do, to walk daily in that knowledge. And when you look at the life and personality of Jesus, when you look at all that he reveals of God himself, who better to come to know? Who better to spend time getting to know more and more than our wonderful Lord and God? We praise you, Lord, for who you are. And we thank you for the lengths you've gone to reveal yourself in all your glory to us through your Son. Thank you. Thank you for making it possible for the barriers to be cleared away from our lives so that we can really know you. But help us to know you better, to walk with you more closely in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Our God, revealed to us in Jesus, is one who travels far to reach us, one who has a shepherd heart, and who, as the good shepherd, still seeks on the hillside and down in the dark gullies to bring us to himself. And our final song testifies to this great fact. Jesus, my Saviour, to Bethlehem came. Jesus, my Saviour, to Bethlehem came. Laid in the manger, in sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name. Seeking for me, for me. Seeking for me, for me. Seeking for me, for me. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name. Seeking for me, for me. Jesus, my Savior, on Calvary's tree, paid the great debt, and my soul is set free. Oh, it was wonderful, how could it be? Dying for me, for me. Dying for me, for me. Dying for me, for me. Oh, it was wonderful, how could it be? Dying for me, for me. Jesus, my Savior, the same as of old. I was wandering far from the fold. Gently and long did he plead for my soul, calling for me, for me. Calling for me, for me. Calling for me, for me. Gently and long did he plead with my soul, calling for me, for me. Jesus, my Savior, shall come from on high. Sweet is the promise as weary years fly. Oh, I shall see him descend from the sky, coming for me, for me. Coming for me, for me. Coming for me, for me.
him descend from the sky, coming for me, for me. Thank you so much for joining us for this time today. It's been really great to have you. And thanks too to everyone who has contributed towards this service. God bless each and every one. And may the God who has shown himself in Jesus watch over us and protect us, bless us with his very presence in our daily lives, wherever we are at any moment, and in the lives of all who are dear to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you.